Obviously, I'm a journalist, but I'm not actually going to talk about media today. I'm going to talk about Zionist infiltration of Muslim communities, which I've noticed as a journalist happening in our mosques and happening in our institutions generally. The Zionists are trying to get right in there in the Muslim community. And if you read the Jewish media in this country, which I do voraciously, and unfortunately I have to say that most of it is blatantly pro-Israel, and they tend to exclude the voices of those Jews who are anti-Israel, and there are many of those. But if you read the, unfortunately, you know, papers like the Jewish News and the Jewish Chronicle, you get an insight into Israel's strategy in the UK. And their strategy, vis-a-vis the Muslim community, is to make links with the Muslim community for two goals. One is to make them shut up about Israel, and secondly, to drive a wedge between different parts of that community. So they'll play the good Muslim, bad Muslim game. And obviously the good Muslims are the ones that, you know, from their perspective, the good Muslims are the ones that don't talk about Israel, that don't talk about British foreign policy, they don't talk about Islamophobia or prevent. And the bad Muslims are the ones that do exactly the opposite, who always go on about Israel and support Palestine, always go on about British foreign policy, Islamophobia, prevent, etc., etc. So in terms of practically how they've got in there, these Zionists who support the oppression of our brothers and sisters in Palestine, we have a Zionist who's the head of one of the main Islamophobia monitoring organizations in the UK called Telmama. Just imagine that, a Zionist at the head of an Islamophobia monitoring organization, when Zionism is one of the main mechanisms that is used to promote Islamophobia. Then we have a group called Nissa Nashim, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, which is government-funded. It's an interfaith organization. And as Les said, interfaith is one of the ways the Zionists are trying to get into the Muslim community. And we have a former Board of Deputies official who is partnering with Julie Siddiqui, a Muslim, in that organization. They don't talk about Israel. Or when they do talk about Israel, they don't criticize Israel ever. Again, another mechanism to get Muslims to stop talking about Israel. The Times of Israel, which runs the Jewish news newspaper in this country, promotes figures like Majid Nawaz, Sara Khan, Dilwar Hussein, and Fiaz Mughal. Unfortunately, some of our own institutions are promoting these interfaith gathering with Zionists, hardcore Zionists. Stanmore Mosque does it. The Al-Khoui Foundation does it. The new mosque in Golders Green does it. I wasn't going to name and shame today, but I think it's gone past that point. The situation has got so serious that we need to call a spade a spade. What this is normalization. Now, in the Middle East, we talk about normalization all the time. No normalization with the Zionist enemy. It's used in that context. Any state or organization which normalizes, which recognizes Israel, that's normalization. That is exactly what some Muslims in this country are doing. They're normalizing with Zionists. If we want to do interfaith, let's do interfaith with Jews like from the Torah Carta. There's plenty of anti-Zionist Jews here in the UK who are more pro-Palestinian than I am, or most of us here are. Let's do interfaith with them, not with people who are complicit in the oppression of our brothers and sisters. Let's stop being apologetic. Let's stop, you know, going on the media and responding to their agenda, being defensive. Let's get on the offensive. That's how Israel has effectively captured world opinion to a large extent. Well, actually, it hasn't, but it's captured the opinion of elites in the world by being very aggressive in its PR, by putting everyone on the defensive, by accusing them of anti-Semitism. We need to make it as toxic to support Israel as they've tried to make it as toxic to support Palestine. I just want to end on Les's, Les's gone now, I don't know where he is, but he talked about the anti-Semitism definition that the British government has come up with, that it recognizes, that local councils recognize. And in that definition, you can't say Israel has no right to exist. You can't say that Israel is a racist state or entity. I always say so-called state. And you can't say that some British Jews put Israel first. Now, I want to say clearly that Israel has no right to exist. Absolutely no right to exist. That doesn't mean, and we should not be afraid of saying that on the BBC, Channel 4, elsewhere, even if we get demonized for it, and we will, but no pain, no gain. Israel has no right to exist, just like apartheid South Africa had no right to exist. That doesn't mean I want to throw all the Jews into the sea. It means I want the state of Israel, or the entity of Israel, to cease. Or like Mahmoud Ahmadinejad said, to pass away from the page of time, or something like that. Israel is a racist entity. We shouldn't be afraid of saying that. Look what they've done to the Palestinians. Look how they spread Islamophobia. It is blatantly racist. Let's not be afraid of saying that. And unfortunately, a lot of British Jews and non-Jews do put the interests of Israel ahead of the interests of their home country. Just read the Jewish Chronicle and the Jewish News to confirm that fact. So let's not be defensive. Let's not be apologetic. Let's get on the front foot. Let's make them, they're the ones that are in the wrong. I've never seen a more black and white issue than Israel-Palestine. It is like Star Wars, it's good and evil. It's literally as obvious as that. All the arguments are on our side, and all the bad arguments are on their side. So let's make it toxic to support Israel. Let's go on the offensive, let's not be apologetic. Let's just call a spade a spade. That's it. Thank you very much. Yeah.